You are listening to Life Heritage Moments with international evangelist and Bible teacher Dr. Keith Augustus Burton. Life Heritage Moments is a production of the Life Heritage Radio Network. Each program is designed to encourage Christians to consider what it really means to be a Christian as it challenges them to transform words into deeds.
Today you will hear the second part of the sermon, Can Obama Save the World?
I have to admit today that although I try to stay neutral in things political, I do want to see Brother Obama succeed on Tuesday. You see, I believe it will be a strong statement. It will be a strong statement to America and the world. Somehow it will be vindication to some of the folk I speak with in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, who recall the days when they marched against racist segregation and had dogs set on them and had fire hoses pointed at them. Somehow, I feel that if he makes it to the White House, they will be vindicated. When I think back at the many who have been lynched and abused, and those who still remember going to restaurants where they couldn't go in for the front door, they had to go through the back door, looking at water fountains that said blacks and whites, and the one that said white had the cooler, and the one that said blacks was dirty and muggy, and folk didn't want to really drink there anyhow. I think about those who fought for this moment, and because of that, I would like to see something happen. I think about my brothers and sisters who suffered during the apartheid days of Azania. I think about my parents who, when they came to England, had to endure certain things, and my father tells me going to places looking for work and it says no blacks, dogs, or Jews need apply. I think about the wrongs that have taken place in this world, and I think that maybe, just maybe, the election of this man into the President of the United States of America will tell people not only in America but around the globe that maybe there's a change coming. Maybe there is some change that we can believe in. However, this evening, I present to you a word of caution. As we get caught up in Obamamania and look for something miraculous to take place in the United States of America, I have to ask myself the question, is this really change that we can believe in? As I think about what Obama has facing him, if he wins on Tuesday, can he really save the nation? When I think about those Arab states who are looking for somebody with sense in the White House, I have to ask myself the question, can he really save the world? In our desperation, have we somehow transformed Senator Obama into a messiah? When I'm perplexed with current events, I like to look to the Word of God for solutions. And when contemplating the Obama craze, my mind was led to Revelation chapter 5. And I see here the recording of words by one prophet, John. I recall the weekend my family and I spent on the Isle of Patmos, when I sat in the cave where it is alleged that John wrote the book of Revelation and read the book through in the original language. And I imaged what John was there for. John was on the Isle of Patmos because he was a political prisoner. He was imprisoned for teaching about a new king, for teaching about change. You see, he sought a new world order. He sought to give people hope, saying that if you would vote for Jesus, hallelujah, a change is going to come. And so he's here on the Isle of Patmos. Some have said, well, maybe if he lived in a democracy, he may not have written the words that he did. But let me tell you something. I'm here to let you know that a democracy is not the solution to our problems. President George Bush speaks of democracies as God's gift to humanity. Let me tell you something. If you think that a democracy is God's gift to humanity, you are living under an illusion. Well, in fact, I'm not sure how many Americans can speak about a democracy with a straight face. We have a nation over there where we see more of a plutocracy than a democracy. How else can you explain the fact that a person has to spend $600 million to win an election? And even when we look at the democratic system, you can vote in whoever you want to vote in, but it's not going to stop wars. It's not going to stop rapes. It's not going to stop famines. It's not going to stop earthquakes and other natural disasters. The system that John yearned for, the system that I yearn for, is not a system that is going to be ushered in by any political process. The change that this world needs is not going to come from America. It's not going to come from the United Kingdom. It's not going to come from the United Nations. And so what change did John vision? In verse 1, John says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Continuing from chapter 4, John gives us an insight into the very throne room of God himself. And here we get a very human picture of God sitting on his throne, having a special scroll in his hand. Now, scrolls in antiquity are usually sealed with one, two at the most seals, but this scroll is obviously important because it is sealed with seven seals. I had to ask myself the question, what is in this scroll? Why is it so important? Well, as I researched, I was led to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, we're told about a category of books that contain the sins, the records of those who have done evil. Then it speaks about another book, singular, which is the book of life. I would like to suggest this evening that the book that is in the right hand of God is the book of life. This book contains the names of the redeemed. And I would like to suggest that this scene is so important because the change that we so desperately yearn cannot take place unless this scroll is open. Unless the roll is called, someone knows what I'm talking about, unless the roll is called, the new kingdom, the indestructible kingdom, cannot be ushered in. And so the God of the universe sits on his immortal throne and holds the solution to Earth's destiny in his hand. But somehow the God of the universe is tied up. For you see, he holds the scroll, he sealed the scroll, but there is an inability for him to open that scroll. And so we read in verse 2. Paul continuing his vision. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" Now, John places the emphasis on the fact that this angel is strong because he wants you to know that strength can't open this seal. You can talk about expanding NATO. You can talk about expanding the United Nations Security Forces. But let me tell you something. The change that we're looking for cannot be brought about by brute force. So this strong angel poses the question, who is worthy to open this scroll? And John waits in pregnant anticipation for somebody to raise their hand and say, "I will do it." But as we look at the text, it says, no one in heaven, no one on the earth, no one under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look at it. No one in heaven, he says. Surely Enoch, the seventh from Adam, who walked with God and was no more, surely Enoch, that perfect man, could open the book. Or maybe Moses, the mouthpiece of God, who God had a special resurrection for when Michael and the dragon fought over his body. Surely Moses could open this book. Surely Elijah, who was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, surely Elijah could open this book. But the Bible says no one in heaven could open this book. Then it goes on that there's not even anybody on earth. Not even Benedict the 16th, who calls himself the Vicarius Dei, the representative of God. Not even George Bush or Gordon Brown, who are trying to orchestrate a new world order. Not even my hero Nelson Mandela, the leader of the global elders. Not even Ban Ki-moon, the head of the United Nations. Not even Barack Obama. Nobody on earth. How about under the earth? Surely there's somebody who's lived a noble life who can be resurrected for this very important task. Surely there's somebody under the earth. But not even Paul, who places life on the line to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not even Peter, who was entrusted with the keys to the kingdom. Not even Mother Teresa, who did so much for the poor in Calcutta. Not even Ellen G. White. Nobody under the earth. There are some people saying, surely some of them could do it. Surely they can. But in the collective chorus, they're saying, no, we can't. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
If you'd like to receive a CD of the full message, please send your tax-deductible love offering of $10 or more to Life Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Be sure to indicate the name of the sermon, "Can Obama Save the World?"
Thanks for listening to Life Heritage Moments. We invite you to email your comments to radio@lifeheritage.org. Please visit us on the web at www.lifeheritage.org, where you can listen to other programs and view the other services of Life Heritage Ministries. If you wish to partner in this ministry, you may make a secure donation on our webpage, or you can send a check or money order to Life Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 56, Harvest, Alabama, 35749. Don't forget to tune in again next week, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.